Thank you very much. The Lord is going to impact your life. As the choir sang, you rise up. You've been lying down in failure, you rise up to success. You've been lying down in sickness, you rise up to health. You've been lying down just bare downtrodden. It's going to bring a turning around in your life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for everyone here. And I know you are going to bless everyone without exception. Every brother, every sister, every minister, every young man, every young woman, every boy, every girl, Lord, we pray, open the doors of blessing for everyone. We thank you because we know it's done. In Jesus' name, we pray. God bless you. You can sit down. We are going to consider a message that applies to everyone. And a message we need to do something about. There are many kinds of messages. The messages that just motivate us for the moment. But there are messages that impact our lives and will turn us around, and something good, great, marvelous will happen in your life. I'm reading from Joshua chapter 1, and I'm reading from verse 8. It says, this book of the law, let's put it as this book of the Lord, because at that time the books that Joshua had that he could refer to was called the book of the law. Genesis, Exodus, up to Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's all he had. Now we have the whole book of the Lord. And he's telling us, this book of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate therein. And as you meditate day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. You meditate, then you observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then it says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. You will have success. Now the children of Israel have been traveling for a long time, and have done some going around without making any progress. But now the day, the time, the moment for their progress had come. Wherever you have been in life, and there has been no progress, today progress will start in your life. The topic we're dealing with is climbing up from stagnancy through salvation to success. It's like you have steps. At the ground level, stagnancy. Then you rise up, you climb, and through salvation, eventually you come to success. Climbing up from stagnancy through salvation to success. Three things we're looking at. Number one is the stagnancy of the average. There is Mr. Average, Madam Average. And at that level, there's stagnancy. There's no progress. Just move around. And many people are satisfied in that station, in that situation of their stagnancy. Number one, the stagnancy of the average. Number two is the salvation from the Almighty. That must make the change. When that salvation comes, he is on salvation coming from the Almighty. Then you are getting up. And eventually, we'll have number three. And number three is the triumphant success while advancing. We're going to advance. Let's look at number one. Number one is the stagnancy of the average. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, here Jesus Christ was speaking to a church, to the leader and to the membership of the church, the men and the women and everyone there. He said, I know thy works, I know your works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, just the average. Not hot, not cold, but satisfied with that. And Jesus said, I would rather that thou wert cold or hot. Then in verse 16, it says, so then, because you are neither cold nor hot, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So in the sight of the Lord, it's not a good thing to be average and satisfied. That's the challenge with many people, average and satisfied. They're neither totally cold nor completely hot. And Jesus said that wasn't a good stage to be in. As I look at many people in my traveling around, and as I fellowship with many churches, young people and older people, everyone, I see number one, they are average yet satisfied. Average in everything. Reading their Bible, average. Coming to church, average. Having experience with the Lord, average. Neither committed completely and neither total unbeliever. How would you say your Christian life is? Average but satisfied. Backward yet satisfied. There are people who are backward and they know they are at the back of the queue. They know that they are not in the forefront. They're backward. Think about their character. Think about their lifestyle. And think about the interaction with other people. Just backward. Others are just common, cold, carnal. In their lifestyle, you can tell the way they comport themselves, they're carnal. And the Lord says that those who do not have the Spirit of God, no conversion, no kind of turning around in lives, they have not been converted, they are carnal. They are natural. They speak like natural people who have never known the Lord, and they act like natural people that have never known the Lord. They are carnal, they are common, and they could be very cold in their relationship with the Lord, their relationship with people. They are cold. Yet, they're satisfied with that. And the Lord doesn't want us to be satisfied in such a situation. Other people are dull of hearing. Paul the Apostle said, I have spoken this and this and this, but you are dull. You've heard. They've not done anything with what they have heard. How many of us, you know, will come to church, will go back, and if I asked you, what did you hear last Sunday? I've forgotten. And what did you hear the other Sunday? I've forgotten. We don't work on what we hear. We're dull of hearing. And it's like once the speaker speaks for 15 minutes, well, it's lost us. We're lost. It's like I cannot follow again. And they're going to say the same thing all over again. Salvation and coming to the Lord, repenting of your sin. They're going to say that again. They're dull of hearing. But they're satisfied. It's not the dullness alone that matters. It's the satisfaction that people have in that condition. Others are enslaved. They're enslaved by hard drugs. Enslaved by some kind of bad character and bad disposition. They're enslaved to substance, but they're satisfied with that. The situation of being average and being satisfied, stagnant and being satisfied, is not a good place to be spiritually. Others are faithless. They don't have faith in God. Maybe they used to believe there is a God in heaven, but things are different now. They are faithless. It's like Thomas saying, except I see this, I will not believe. And Jesus said, okay, come and touch my hand and put your finger inside here and be not faithless, but believing. What's the worth of your faith? And what do you believe? How much do you believe? But many people are faithless and satisfied. Other people are graceless. It's the grace of God that brings salvation into our lives. The grace of God that makes us to live as a believer, as a Christian ought to live. But there is the absence of grace in their lives, and yet they are satisfied. They're satisfied with just coming to church. They're satisfied with just being a nominal Christian. Christians in name only, but the grace that shows in our lives that we have met the Lord. It's touched our lives, it's transformed our lives, and we're different from the people in the world who do not know the Lord. That grace does not show. They are graceless, and yet they are satisfied. And in this one, we have the has and the have-nots. This one has a good name. That one has a good character. That one has some substance. That one has some property. But they are the have-nots. And the people that have nots, and they are living on charity from the government or from their neighbors, they have nots, and yet they are satisfied. Other people are just idle. And they're satisfied. They're indolent. They're satisfied. I don't have any job. Are you making any efforts? No. Are you trying to get something done with your hands? No. Idle and satisfied. Others are joyless and satisfied. No joy of the Lord. They're not radiant believers. And they do not have the joy of the salvation of the Lord, the joy of interpersonal relationship with the Lord, the joy of doing something, helping other people. They do not have any joy in serving the Lord and serving other people. Joyless, yet they are satisfied. Other people are kept down. Their character keeps them down. Their idleness keeps them down. Their disposition keeps them down. Their attitude to people keeps them down. Their look, sometimes when they look at you, you feel like, you're a nobody. And you don't want to associate with such people. And they do not understand that that kind of attitude keeps them down. Many people are kept down, but they are satisfied. Others are lost. Lost in sin. Lost in evil. Yet, they are satisfied. All people are lost. Lost in sin. And Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. But the point is, there are people who are not even seeking to be saved. They are satisfied in their condition of being lost. Some people allow themselves go through life to be manipulated, and they are satisfied. They say, that's who I am. If someone manipulates me, I'm all right. That one manipulates me. They even know that people are they're monitoring them and manipulating them, but they've given up. There's nothing I can do about it. Do you check up your life And do you control your own life? Or is it somebody that, you know, controls you? There is maybe a madam not doing well. He, she herself is not doing well and yet controlling your life, manipulating your life. There is a Mr. doing nothing well and yet it's either that Mr. or Madam that controls your life and you are satisfied to be like that, manipulated and yet satisfied. Others, they're neglectful. The things they should take care of, about their health, about their body, about their education, about their progress, they're just negligent, and yet satisfied. And we need to examine ourselves and examine our lives and find out, how is it with me? Others are oppressed and satisfied. Others are poor and satisfied. I don't have anything, but thank God I can expect at the end of the month or any time, you know, somebody will send something to me. Are you making effort to get out of that situation? A poor student, a poor young man, a poor worker, a poor husband, a poor wife, and, you know, a poor breadwinner who is not doing what he ought to be doing. Are you satisfied? You see, mediocrity creeps into our lives, and we're now that. We don't make any effort. When I say we, I'm talking to the people that don't make the effort. They're poor and satisfied. As I look at different characters of people, the people I've interacted with, and people I've interacted with me, I've seen that some people are quarrelsome. They pick up little things. Now that looks like their full-time job. They must find something to quarrel about. And yet they are satisfied. And I say, are you a Christian? Of course you don't think I am. Am I a pagan? I am a Christian. Are you satisfied the way you are? Yes, I am. People know that I'm a great Christian. Quarrelsome, yet satisfied. There are those who cannot, if their family depended on them, you couldn't keep that family. And that is the man. He quarrels about nothing. The woman, the wife, quarrels about nothing. Or it's about one of the children, the teenager, and the teenager comes to church and the teenager reads the Bible and the teenager sings the church songs, yet any little thing she's packing out. I cannot live in this home anymore. The Lord doesn't want us to be the average person, stagnant there, doing the same thing year after year, and yet we claim to be church people. Others are rebellious, just rebellious. And at the fine time, they must use that vocabulary, no. And they don't even listen to, you know, what requests we are making. Would you do this? Before the sentence finishes, they say no. Would you get up? No. Would you see now? No. Will you go there? No. Will you do something in your life that will make you a kind of significant in life? No. There are people that are just rebellious. The problem is they're rebellious and satisfied. Others, sinful. Yes, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't say all must be sinning. No. All will keep on sinning. No, it says all have sinned in the past. Yes, we have sinned. We are descendants of Adam and Eve. And we have sinned. But if we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't remain like that. But there are people who are sinful and satisfied. Others are just temperamental. It's like they're wearing their tempers on their nerves. Touch them like this, the flare up. Anger is the order of the day for them. They are angry at nothing. We smile, they are angry while you're smiling. We frown then, they are angry. We keep quiet, they are angry. We talk, we're angry. What do? The man, the woman is just temperamental and satisfied. And other people are unsaved. We hear about salvation. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we've heard that over and over. And I ask a person, you've been going to an evangelical church, a Pentecostal church, a charismatic church for 3 years. Are you saved? Well, I'm thinking about it. I want to be saved. What are you going to be saved? You've been here for 3 years, 5 years. You're unsaved. And you're satisfied just coming to church and just identify with the people of God. Others have been victimized. And you remain in that situation of being victimized. And there is maybe a young man that molests you. And you stay in that situation. There is a young woman that is molesting you, abusing you, and getting you into the works of the flesh. And yet you remain in that condition. They're victimized and they are there satisfied. They're wayward, satisfied. They're excluded from every good company, and yet they're satisfied. Other people are just yoked. You're yoked with something evil. You're not even making any attempt to come out. In the stagnancy of Mr. Average, Mrs. Average, Madam Average, Miss Average, and Master Average. But the Lord wants us to get out of that average situation. And if you're in that situation, you'll come out. Others are yoked. They're satisfied. Others, they're just zero. Zero. The battery is completely down. The battery of their life, zero. And they're not, you can easily charge that battery. And the Lord is there to make zero to become full. And you can be full tonight. But the problem is when this is who you are, and you are just satisfied. And I'm going to ask you, you might be an adult, and this is your way of life. And we cannot say that you are standing out. We cannot say that you have any distinctives. We cannot say that this is the distinction you have in your life. Just so-so church member, so-so church goer, so-so student, so-so school attendee, but there is nothing that is sparkling in your life, distinctive in your life. There's nothing that is standing out in your life. The Lord wants you to come out of that average situation, and I believe and I pray you'll come out today in Jesus' name. Think, if every member of the church you attend were like you, what will the church look like? If every family, every member in your family were just like you, what will your family look like? If every employee in this country were exactly like you, what will this country look like? If every professional in this country were just like you, average, cold, carnal, no zeal, no passion, no drive, if everyone were like you, what will this nation look like? The Lord wants us to come out. and stand out. You will stand out. He wants you to be the light of the world. He wants you to be the salt here on earth. He wants you to have the passion in your soul that somebody will look at you and say, there goes a real believer. There goes a real committed Christian. There goes a person that is not neither cold nor hot. He is not lukewarm. There goes a person that has distinguished himself in one thing or the other. And I pray that your life will be like that. Another amen.
Amen.
Number two is the transforming salvation from the Almighty. Transforming salvation. Many people just talk salvation, salvation, salvation. But what kind of salvation are we talking about? It's not traditional salvation. It's not daddy is saved, mommy is saved, therefore I am saved. No. This is the kind of salvation that comes to you from the Almighty Himself. It's the salvation that is worthy of the name of the Almighty. Salvation from the Lord that transforms our lives. Here comes a man. His name is Zacchaeus. In Luke chapter 19, I'm reading there from verse 9. Before that verse 9, this man was of little stature. He wasn't tall enough to see the Lord in the physical and also in his character. He was of little value, of little worth. What he was in the physical, he was in the spiritual. Of little stature, he couldn't see the Lord. But he wanted to see the Lord. He had a desire. That's where it starts. You must become dissatisfied with where you are, what you are. And you must have the desire. I want to know the Lord. I want to see the Lord. I want to interact with the Lord. It starts with desire. And when he had a desire, he came out of his house. He saw that people were following after Christ. He wanted to see Christ, but he could not because of the crowd and because of his little stature. And number two, he had determination. Yes, I'm of little stature. And I have desire to see the Lord. And I can't see him because of the crowd. Then I must put determination into wanting to see the Lord. That is what it takes for us to be saved. And for the salvation of the Lord to come into us, there must be this personal desire. And there must be this passionate determination. And then he must do something. He must do something. That even though I can't see him naturally. Even though there's such a crowd, they won't allow me to even pass through. And so he looked at the tree and he climbed up the tree in the public. How would somebody do that? He said, I'm going to see him. I will not be denied. When you have the mind, I will get saved no matter how. Whatever happens, and whoever allows me, whoever does not allow me, I'm going to use my own initiative, and I'm going to do what I need to do to see him. And he climbed up on that tree. And when Jesus got there, he stopped. When God sees that you have that desire, you have that determination, and you say, I will see him. And you're not satisfied with who you are. I've been a Christian for 20 years. You're not satisfied. I've been a Christian for 30 years. You're not satisfied. You look at the areas of your life where you're stagnant. Where you're average. And you say, something must happen. I must rise up. I must climb up away from this position of stagnancy. And I must have the fuller salvation of the Lord. So the Lord will see you. He will stop where you are. He will regard you and he will do something in your life in Jesus' name. And then Jesus looked up and he said, Zacchaeus,
what?
He knows my name. He knows your name. He knows your situation. If somebody is a pretender, he knows you. If somebody is passionate, he knows you. If somebody has real desire to see the Lord, he knows you. If somebody has determination to know the Lord, he knows you. And Zacchaeus began to think, he knows me. And since he knows me, he must know what my life had been. Of course, he knows what your life had been. He knows how sincere you have been. He knows how serious you have been. He knows how desirous you have been. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Make haste and come down. Salvation is not something we push forth and we say, maybe tomorrow. Make haste and come down. Another time, make haste and come down. I don't feel like praying tonight. I don't feel like giving my life to Christ tonight. I don't feel. It's not your feeling. Heaven commands you, make haste and come down. And then he came down and received him joyfully. Other people were talking. Other people were criticizing. Those who criticize, they are always there. Any good thing you do, those who will criticize you, they are always there. Any step you take, those who will criticize are always there. And if you are running away from criticism in life, you'll never do anything significant. He didn't listen to their criticism. And then the Lord said, I'm going to be in your house today. And then he began to think, he's going to be in my house today. He'll see all those furniture and all the equipment and everything. And I got them with stolen money. And I got them with cheating other people. And so he said, Lord, you know, half of my goods, now that I've met you, I'll give to the poor. You cannot meet the Lord and remain the same, and remain lukewarm, and remain uninterested, and remain just like you were. Half of my good I give to the poor. When you calculate that, you can begin to analyze that in your mind. If the man had property worth of 1 million, because he was stinking rich, and yet he said, half of my good I give to the poor. Think about what he's going to give away. Then he said, if I have cheated anyone, taking anything from any man, the man may not know, or the man might know. Whether they know or they do not know, if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I would restore fourfold. This is real salvation. Many people that say they are saved today, and the sins of the past they used to enjoy, they're still enjoying those sins. There's no salvation there. And the things they've stolen, they know, I stole this one, I stole this, I stole that. They're still making use of them. And they do that with, you know, free mind. That's no salvation. And the people that have, you know, they have their wife, you know, in Nigeria, in Ghana, in Africa. And then there's another woman here, they are, you know, they say they are getting married to. The first wife is still alive back at home in Africa. And here, they have another one for whatever reason. And that's not salvation. They might be coming to church and they might even be singing in your choir. They might be doing whatever, but salvation brings a change of life. That's why it's called transformational or transforming salvation. And those who have got anything by, you know, crooked ways, when we're really saved, the Spirit of God that lives in us will tell us that has to be changed. That has to be returned to the real owner. And maybe you've taken, it's not only that you're marrying second wife or third wife, but there is somebody's wife. You are actually either to counsel the person or to do whatever, and now you are turning her to be your wife, and the husband is still there. The law may not know that. The country may not know that. Your pastor may not know that. When there's real salvation, there are three things. Number one, there's redemption. Redemption, that means that you have been far away from the Lord. You are redeemed. You are brought back to the Lord now. There is realization. Realization, that means that Zacchaeus realized. He said, Lord, I realize now, meeting you, I cannot continue the way I used to continue. I cannot continue cheating other people, robbing other people. I cannot continue, living in sin while I say I've met the Savior. And so, half of my good, I'll not be stingy anymore. This is real salvation. Because he had redemption, number one, he had realization, number two, number three, he had reformation. The Lord reformed him, changed his life. Let me read the passage to you now. As Jesus spoke to him in Luke chapter 19 verse 9, it says, and Jesus said unto him, unto this Zacchaeus, after the realization, after the willingness that anything that I've stolen from anybody, I've taken by wrong decision, I'm going to restore fourfold. He said, this day is salvation come to this house, to this heart, for as much or so much as he also is a son of Abraham. And then Jesus said in verse 10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save. Is that this is the kind of salvation he has brought into the world. Not the kind of salvation people claim and they say, I'm saved, and they're still drinking water from the gutter. I'm saved, they're still drinking their intoxicating liquid. I'm saved. They're still taking, they're still smoking the things that will turn their brain. I'm saved, and they're still stealing. They're saved, and they're still lying. No, Jesus said, this kind of salvation that I gave to Zacchaeus now, that is the kind of salvation I brought. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I come to number three now. Number three is a triumphant success while advancing. Triumphant success while advancing. In Joshua chapter 1, here God was talking to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 5. The Lord assured Joshua, he said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. I thought there would be a good amen to that. You know, before this time, maybe there are people who have been able to stand against you, like Pharaoh stood against the children of Israel. Great man, mighty man. Like the Amalekites stood against the children of Israel. But now he said, you are entering into the promised land. I am entering into the promised land. And no man will be able to stand before you. No magical man. No occultic man. No wicked man. No terrorizing man. No man that will say, you want to make progress and then they are standing in your way. The Lord will get rid of them, clear them out of the way. And then he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. He said, I will not fail thee, for nor forsake thee. Then he goes on to tell us, he says, be strong and of a good courage. When you come to the Lord, and I assure you, the past is forgiven. A new life begins today. Are you ready to now march forward into the future life that will be a kind of life that is lifted up? It says, you have courage. Your will be strong. My fears are taken away. My anxiety taken away. My worry taken away. My sickness taken away. I can't hear you. Can you imagine? Joshua had been in the wilderness all these many years. So now they've come to the point they're going to inherit the land. Can you imagine Joshua being sick, weak, anemic, almost blind? How's he going to get to the land? But all those things will be of the past in your life. Can you imagine Joshua being afraid of anyone on the other side of the wall of Jericho? How is he going to go through? But he said, you'll be strong. I will be strong. Not only I will be strong, I am strong. Let the weak say, let the sick say, I am here. All those people, can you imagine? All the millions of them, they were now to cross over to the promised land. Not one feeble person among them. God can so do it, and it can start with us who are here, that no sickness will ravage your body. Amen. No evil spirit will come to attack you. Amen. They dare not do that. And then you are not, you know, one of the people that will say, I am now, I am sick, I am this, I am that. Be strong. If you couldn't be strong, the Lord will not be commanding you, be strong and of a good courage. For unto these people shalt thou also divide for an inheritance. It says, the land which I swear unto their fathers. It says, to give unto them. Then it goes on in the next verse. It says again, only be thou, tell me, only be thou strong. Now, in the morning, before you go out of the house, you must be strong before you meet the enemy during the day. And so, morning, afternoon, evening, you are strong. I pray you'll be strong. The strength of the Lord. And also he says, I'm very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Then it says, turn not from it to the right or to the left hand. Now, when you hear the word of God, don't turn from that to the left or to the right. When he says, repent and believe the gospel, don't dodge that. Turn here or turn there. Do exactly that. When he says, when you bring your gift to the altar and you remember that somebody has ought against you, leave your gift there, reconcile with your brother, then come back to offer your gift. Do just that. Don't just gloss over it. It doesn't matter. It's a junior person. It's a woman. It's a teenager. Yes, I hurt her, but forget about that. Don't forget about that. Don't turn from the word of God to the right or to the left. do as he has said, that thou mayest prosper. Whithersoever thou goest, you will prosper. Then it says in verse 8 that this book of the law of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth. The word of God shall not depart out of your mouth. What you say is what you see. What you say is what you have. What you say is what you possess. Some people say, I'm a Christian, but God never answers my prayer. Is that the word of God that should not depart out of your mouth? I'm a Christian, God always answers my prayer. The name of Jesus has authority. The Spirit of God has power. I walk in the word. I walk by faith and not by sight. And Jesus said, if I will say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which you have said will come to pass, you will have, I will have, we shall have what we say. So, don't allow the word to get out of your mouth. It says that thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Meditate on the word day and night. What do you meditate on? I greeted that sister and she just snubbed me. Didn't even answer. And you are meditating on that for hours throughout the day. And then I asked that sister, please, can you show me the way to that place or that place? And she looked at you like this, up and down, like you don't know that way. What a poor fellow you are. And then turned away. And you meditate on that all through the day. Or maybe you had two people talking and somebody came to you and said, can I tell you something? These people, this is what they are saying about you. You better be very careful before that they might smile or laugh. But this is what they think about you. And you're meditating on that all through the day. No wonder they dictate your life, they control your life. Because what you meditate on is what controls your life. But now we turn it around. What they are saying is not that important. They are gossiping, they are slandering, they are deceiving. That's not that important. You are not going to allow that to control your life. But the word of God, the word of power will control your life. The word that will give you success, that's what will control your life. And then it says, you observe to do according to the word which you have heard, which is reaching therein. And then it goes on to say, for thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Say that aloud. For then, say that again. Hold on now. People say, they don't allow me to prosper. It's not in their hand. Your prosperity is not in the hand of anyone. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous. They don't allow me to be happy. Your happiness is not in their hand. Thou shalt make thyself happy. They don't allow me to make progress. Your progress is not in their hand. Thou shalt make yourself progress. And they don't allow me to make it in life. Who are the day? Where are they? They were in our country before they came. They were chasing me. And now I've run here. I'm now in Canada. And they have not left me alone. They will not allow me to have this. You got it wrong. Because it's not they. Your word is greater than their word. Your faith is greater than all the things they may do. For then thou, say thou, Say, I will make my way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? I said, thou shalt have what? Good success. Not bad success. Good success. Oh, you say, Pastor, is there any bad success? Yes. The kind of success that takes you away from God. That's bad success. The kind of success that takes you away from church. That's bad success. The kind of success that takes you away from the faith. Since I got this privilege or this opportunity, there's no way I can go to church anymore. That's bad success. There's no way I can read Bible anymore. I have to wake up early and then go there. And then we close late. By the time we come back, reading Bible, forget about it. That's bad success. The success that takes you from heaven and takes heaven away from you, what kind of success is that? A kind of success that makes you to forget God. What kind of success is that? And a kind of success that makes you to tell your pastor, Pastor, don't bother me. Don't bug me. Don't challenge me about anything. Now I've got money and I've got this and that, and I don't want any religion to hinder me from making money, making money, making money. What kind of success is that? But God will give you good success. You have the success, you keep your salvation. You have the success, you keep your holiness of heart. You have the success and you keep your job. You have the success and keep on progressing, progressing, and progressing in Jesus' name. You know, the kind of success that somebody has, and it says, well, madam, come. We've been husband and wife, but you know now, look at my position in society and look at what I have. I'm sorry to tell you, you don't match my life anymore. And the wife says, what? We've been together for 23 years. Yes, all that time were like equals. But now look at my position. And when they call me for, you know, a national function, I cannot go with you. I need to tell you the real fact. So find your way. I'm going to find another woman that matches my present status. What kind of success is that? Bad success. Don't have bad success. I pray for you. You have good success. You will prosper. You will succeed. And every promise of God of the yes and amen in your life in Jesus' name. Now, I'm looking at Joshua. I say, Joshua, advancing. What are you advancing? Number one, he said, I'm advancing into the promised land. And that man advanced and got to the promised land. You get to the promised land. He was advancing with the promises because God had said, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Whatever challenge you face, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Number two, he was advancing with the promises. Number three, he was advancing in his pardon. God didn't have any record of sin against him. His sin had been pardoned. And when God forgives you, he'll forget every bad thing you ever did in your life in Jesus' name. Number four, he was advancing in purity. Advancing in purity. That's why Joshua was surprised when he sent the people to the battlefield and they defeated them. He said, what? He looked at his life. The Lord had purified me and I remain in that purity. And he went to pray and he said, God, why should this happen? And God said, it's not you, it's Achan that is causing the problem. Take that Achan away, and success and progress and victory will come. take that Achan away. You know, sometimes it's not you wanting to commit that sin. It's an Achan that is there, and you allow that Achan to be a friend, that Achan to be an associate, that Achan to be a partner. But as long as that Achan is there, trouble will be there. So dissociate and separate from that Achan, and the lost victory will come back in Jesus' name. And you advance in His power. Advancing in His power. Advancing in your profession. And advancing with daily progress. Today, progress. Tomorrow, progress. Daily, every time, progress. If you remain with the Lord, abide in me, and I in you, and whatsoever you ask will be done unto you. He will answer your prayer. Remember, get off that train of average and come into the salvation of the Lord. And now move on and on and on. Advance, advance in His promises, advance in the pardon, advance in His power, advance in His progress, promises, and advance with daily progress. Things are going to be totally different. Another amen. An amen for good success. Heads bowed and eyes closed. The Lord is calling us out of the average, out of being stagnant. The Lord is calling us out of mediocrity. The Lord is calling us out of backwardness, calling us out of common, cold, carnal conduct. He's calling us out of being dull of hearing. Hearing, 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 but doing nothing about it. The Lord is calling us out of enslavement. Anything that enslaved your life. Maybe other people just take you as a slave. A slave of whatever ideology. Tell the Lord and say, Lord, I come out of that faithlessness. What do you believe? Look at the promises of God. He has forgiveness waiting for you. He has salvation waiting for you. He has holiness waiting for you. And it says, be not faithless, but believe it. Tell the Lord, now I believe. I come out of the stagnancy of faithlessness. Come out. Tell the Lord, your mind, your heart, you're not going to allow this situation of gracelessness in your life. Let the grace of God work in your life, transform you, change your life totally and completely. Idleness, say no to idleness. Come out of that. That's why people are stagnant, joylessness, being kept down, being lost. And let no one manipulate your life. Don't allow that. Don't be a slave to anyone. Man or woman, a religious man. If that man were righteous, he will not try to manipulate you, control you. He has his own life to control. She has her own life to control. That's enough for her. But you take hold of your life and say no to manipulation. Don't be negligent. Don't allow oppression. If there's quarrelsomeness in your life, you're just quarreling. Get rid of that today. Lord, I repent. Lord, I turn away from that. Rebellion. I turn away from that. Sin. Any shape. Sin of any size. Sin. In any way, will not take root in your life. Are you temperamental? Temper, anger all the time. Hand it over to the Lord. Anger destroys families, scatters families, scatters communities. Tell the Lord. Tonight, I turn my life totally, completely unto you. Any yoke, break it off your neck. And let the Lord grant you that salvation that is transformational. Anything you've taken from other people, you're ready to restore to them. So you can live a free, sincere, upright life. And the Lord wants you to succeed your Christian life. He wants you to succeed your profession. Succeed in everything you lay your hand upon. Good success. Reject bad success. Even if somebody gave it to you free, reject it. But tell the Lord, the success I want is good success. Jesus' name we pray. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. You want to definitely, like Zacchaeus, offer yourself, give your heart to the Lord. You have the desire, you have the determination that follows after that. And you are saying, today I want to settle this with the Lord. To give myself unreservedly, completely unto the Lord, so that He'll be my Lord without a rival. He'll be my Savior, an effective Savior to transform my life. You want Jesus to be your Savior, to forgive your sin, to turn your life around for the better. Anywhere you are, just raise up your hand. It's between you and the Lord. God bless you there. Thank you. God bless you there. Raise up that hand. Raise it up very well. I'm leaving the life of mediocrity behind. And the average life, the stagnancy. I'm leaving all that behind. Lord, here am I. Walk in me. Walk on me. Walk through me. Everything on the inner life, work on that. Forgive me, change my life, transform my life. Grant me this transformational salvation. Raise up that hand again. I'm going to pray with you now. If you're raising up your hand, you'll stand up. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody is looking around. It's between you and the Lord. Just stand up. You raised up. God bless you. You raised up your hand. God bless you there. God bless you there. God bless you there. The Lord said, if you are ashamed of him among men, he too will be ashamed of you. But if you will confess him and say, I accept Jesus as my personal Savior, and I leave this life of the average, I leave all that behind, and I come to you to transform my life and change my life, he said he'll confess you before the Father in heaven. God bless you. The Lord is waiting for you. Hand over that heart to the Lord. Let him wash you. Wash you whiter than snow. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for those who have realized tonight that their lives have been average, stagnant, and they want it turning around. I pray, Lord, you turn them around for the better in Jesus' name. Wash them, cleanse them, purify them, purge them. Take all this stagnancy away from their lives in Jesus' name. Confirm it, O Lord. Let the joy of salvation, the victory of salvation, the peace we have in salvation come into every one of them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Everybody say thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, we want good success. I want good success. And so, we'll all stand up now. We'll all stand up now. And you just tell the Lord, if while you are hearing the message, you have been just talking of success, 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 and you are kind of muddled together, bad success and good success. Now, you are going to sift. You are going to say, Lord, that's bad success. I don't want bad success. What do you want? You'll tell the Lord, just for a moment, just tell the Lord, identify in your life what kind of success the Lord has for you. Remember, any kind of success or progress or job or relationship that takes you away from God and takes Christ away from your life, bad success. But a success that keeps you in the faith, the success that keeps heaven in focus, the success that keeps your relationship with God intact, that's the success you want. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone here. I pray, Lord, you take bad success away from every life in Jesus' name. Good success for everyone. Progress for everyone. Advancing for everyone. Lord, I pray that every good thing your people have lost, you restore to them in Jesus' name. Those who need job, give jobs to them. Those who need certificate after good education, Lord, make them succeed in their education in Jesus' name. And those who have desire to have a building of their own, good success. Do it for them in Jesus' name. Those who want to serve you, bringing other people to the Lord and having the joy of serving you and seeing the fruit of their labor, grant it to them in Jesus' name. Lord, without good health, we cannot enjoy the good success you are giving us. And therefore, Lord, I pray you'll give good health to everyone. Any sickness in your body, from the top of your head to the tip of your toe, I command that sickness come out in Jesus' name. Brain problem, insanity, depression, I command, come out in Jesus' name. Any so-called incurable disease, Lord, I pray you take that incurable disease away in Jesus' name. Stroke, paralysis, whatever, we command, be healed in Jesus' name. Cancer, ulcer, whatever, be healed in Jesus' name. We pray specially for pastor's wife. We're asking, oh Lord, wherever she is now, touch her right there. Heal her right there. Let the healing virtue of the Lord pass into her body and raise her up from the bed of sickness. All of us here and our relatives and our loved ones, touch them and heal them. Work the miracle out. And put testimony in every mouth. Our good God, loving God, compassionate God, we know you have answered. Health for everyone. Deliverance for everyone. Good success for everyone. Joy for everyone. Thank you, Lord. Whether it's done, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.